her help and only expectation. Is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 367, the stanza 4 and 5. 367, the stanza 4 and 5. Thou, the Lord, hast chosen Zion. And what's further? 367, 4 and 5. congregation, the reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found in Romans chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. Verse 1 through 6. But before we'll listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter, till so far.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. And again, Lord, thou hast called us out of our houses. We have heard this night thy majesty and seen thy glorious power. We have read in thy word that thy throne is surrounded by lightnings. showing thy majesty. And Lord, we all reckon it to be part of nature, but nature is thine, and thou art teaching us thy majesty. Lord, we pray that we might get to know thee in Christ, that there wouldn't be any fear anymore. For although there was lightning about the throne, there was also a vow of glory. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us this morning to speak according to thy word, and with the gift of thy Spirit, that those who hear it might believe, that it might be fruitful to their souls, young children, old children. We pray for the sick and those who fear to be sick. We pray for Mr. von Wooden in the institution when he had to go to the hospital to search for sickness. We pray that thou would keep him and protect him and give him to look into thee for time and eternity. We pray for the old in age, those who travel, but the most part is past, a short while, and eternity is there. Prepare us all to meet thee in peace. Open thereunto the scriptures also this morning, for thou hast said that faith by thy Spirit is worked by the preaching of the gospel. Lord, give us to preach the gospel as an answer to the law. For thy people is not under the dominion of the law anymore, but under the dominion of grace. A fulfilled law, like we have heard last week. Lord, give us to understand these things, to live out of these things. Remember, the world around us, it isn't going to be easier. People make themselves ready for war. Israel is persecuted more than ever before. They use the state of Israel as Nazism against the Palestinians. Israel shouldn't have a nation, they say. But thou hast given that land to them, and thou hast said they will return at the end of the ages to their own land, to their own city, Jerusalem. Although they will be persecuted by the whole world. And it seems to be that even in the United States, though they always protected Israel, the support seems to diminish. And even attacks against the Jews start newly. Oh Lord, give them that grace to get to know thee. Is the only comfort both in life and death, their own Messiah, their own Son, and the Son of God, the Son of Adam and the Son of David. O Lord, reveal thyself to them, but bless also the mission work in the whole world, in Quebec and Serbia, Malawi. When one of us is preparing to leave to work there, but also in Suriname and other places in the world, it seems to be that even in China there's an uproar. And it's all what thy word says in Psalm 2 against thee and thy anointed. That's the whole cause of the war in the world. But thou art more than victorious, like Paul says, thou hast given us the victory in Christ Jesus. Remember those who prepare for next school year, the boards, the teachers, the children. They take some days off still. But bless them, Lord, and be with them. Bless the families who have to support their children to go to school. That's a burden financially. But help them, Lord, and give them grace to give them a Christian education, like they promised with baptism. But help us to do it, Lord, the teachers. We pray for all the schools and the school to be founded, that our children might have a Christian education, and that the teachers might be means for thy grace, for that's the purpose. It's the greenhouse, says one of our fathers. The Christian school is the greenhouse of the church when they're touching young children. Lord, remember us in mercy. Also here in the congregation, be with us. Forgive us our many sins and lead us in thy day truth. Open the scriptures, please, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, Paul says sometimes the same things with different examples. He uses the marriage as an example of the covenant between God and man. You find it in the book Hosea, where the Lord is called the husband of the church. But also in the New Testament, the marriage is a mystery. It's the bond between Christ and his congregation. It's a spiritual bond. And Paul now goes on explaining what it means. If you look carefully to these six verses, you see that the second marriage is only fruitful, not the first. If you look carefully, the first marriage had one thing: for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruits unto death. The first marriage brings forth fruit unto death, says Paul, says the Holy Ghost. But 6 says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. That's the law. The letter is the law. Not in the oldness of the letter, but in the newness of the Spirit. We'll see two things. In the first place, the first marriage between Christ and his church. Is that Christ? Yes. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the human nature, born of the Virgin Mary. He's born of a woman and born under the law. He became, by accounting, the first Adam, sinner of all sins. Although he was righteous, he paid a penalty, although he had never sinned. The first marriage is the marriage to the body of Christ. And that first marriage is going to end by the death of Christ. Secondly, the second marriage is to another. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. It's not another person, but another Christ. Not Christ under the law, but Christ having paid to the law. A glorious Christ, a resurrected Christ, another Christ, same Christ, but new. Even to him who is raised from the dead, has all power in heaven and on earth, in our that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, that we should bring forth fruits unto God. So the marriage is an example, the second marriage of a risen Christ with the church, to bring forth fruits unto God, and not fruits unto death. But let's go text by text, and let's first think of that bride. We have sung it last week, but let's sing it again. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend, for Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. 1 through 5, 125. Can you obey the law when you're dead? It's over. The law has no power anymore when you're dead. The law is only power of a man when he lives, or a girl. But the moment you die, when the law says convert you or be converted, you can't. It's over. Therefore, Paul says, know ye not. Don't you know? For I speak to them that know the law. The law outside of Christ let you die. That in Christ you might live. Don't you know, for I speak to them that know the law by experience, who died to the law to live unto God, how that the law has dominion over the man as long as he liveth. You can look at a dead person, and if you say walk, he can't. Look and he can't. Obey and he can't. The dominion of the law has come to an end the moment you die. Although in the Roman Catholic Church they believe that even in the purgatory the law has some power. No. When you die, it's over. It's come to an end. The law has no power over us anymore. The sentence, because you lived in sin, if you're not converted, not known to be known by Christ, sentence comes. But you can change your life, you can't obey, you can't listen when you're dead. They might scream to you, but it doesn't help you. Doesn't change you. You can't listen. And you can't move. Have you sometimes stood at a casket with one of your beloved ones? And I know sometimes they do. They say, Daddy, but Daddy doesn't answer anymore. Daddy, listen. And he doesn't listen anymore. So when death comes, the law has no power. For it can't answer. You can't answer anymore the demands of the law. And then he turns to the example of a marriage. When a husband dies, the bond is broken. The marriage is broken. There is no connection anymore. You're released from the law of your husband, says Paul, by the Holy Spirit. You're free. It might be a sad freedom, a terrible freedom, but you're free, liberated. If that husband was a cruel husband, always putting you under a yoke of the commands, never had any compassion with you. But when he dies, law has come to an end. No rule of you. The first husband, when he dies, your relationship to that first husband is finished. You're set free from your first husband. But if the husbands be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. But if she marries another while her first husband lives, and there are two reasons of exemption. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:15, if an unbelieving husband wants to separate from you, you're free from law. If an unbelieving husband or an unbelieving wife wants to separate from you, 1 Corinthians 7:15, you're free to marry another. And another reason, that's the second, of which the Lord Jesus said, if there is adultery, you're free. But he who was the adulterer is never free and is not allowed to marry again. That's again adultery. Now that's the scriptural reason for these things. Then she is free, and I go again. If the husband dies, she is free from her husband. The bond is broken. The relationship is ended. She doesn't need to honor him anymore. And he can't love her anymore. It's come to an end. Our marriages are always coming to an end. And once you might be all by yourself, your husband passed away or your wife, and you're free to marry another. And even if you're a young widow, you should marry another. Otherwise you will be heated and there is a danger for adultery and uncleanness, says Paul. But my dear congregation, Paul uses this as an example. He says, wherefore, my brethren, he speaks to the church, to those that believe, children of God, brethren in Christ Jesus, belonging to the spiritual family of God, of which Christ is the head and the husband. He says, my brethren. He says, my brethren. My Adelphoi. My brethren. My brothers and sisters. That's a new family. That's an eternal family which bond will be never broken. That's an eternal bond. An eternal family, your earthly family will be broken, but that family will never be broken. You will be where your husband is, if you're a child of God and belonging to the bride. O royal bride, give heed. O royal bride, give heed. And to my words attend. Psalm 45, Kohlberger made thesis about it and said, against the theologians of his time, this is a prophetic psalm speaking of Christ and the church. And he passed his exams for it. But congregation, now he goes, so if while her husband liveth, and she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law, by the body of Christ, by the human nature of Christ. It's wonderful that the church is called in the first place to be married to the human nature of Christ. Christ was born of a woman and he was made under the law. Why? He married his church under the law because the church is under the law. He was made a sinner, and he meets his church as a sinner. Therefore, in the book of Songs of Songs, the bride is black. He came from heaven to be man, the husband of a black, sinful woman. But that marriage is predetermined. Today we have a free choice, they say. And they say if you have a free choice, marriages are better. In practice, it means marriages are not always better. It seems to be in the Jewish religion that a marriage is predetermined. The father determines, says, to whom the boy should marry. And you know the history of Jacob. He wanted to marry Rachel, but Laban said, no, Rachel, Leah be your wife. Predetermined. It means that Christ is married to the church which is chosen by the Father. Therefore, you read in the New Testament about a parable of the marriage of the Lord. His father prepared a marriage feast for him. The father gave the bride to the Lord Jesus. When? From eternity. Before she was born even. He determined the bride to be the bride of the Lord Jesus. And the wonder of all wonders is that Christ, the bride, in human nature, not his divine, his human nature suffered and obeyed the law. Not his divine, the body. And what did he do? He agreed. Can I give some examples of the bride of the Lord Jesus? A woman, and I've said it last week, which had five husbands, and the man with whom she lived was not her husband, but she was the bride of the Lord Jesus. A sinner. David. Solomon. Manasseh. That woman of a bad name in the house of Simon the leper was a bride of the Lord Jesus. She loved him because he forgave her sins. He loved her first. And then she loved him by his love. My dear congregation, if you're a Christian, you're married by the determination of God to Christ in his human nature first. And in that marriage, there is common possession. Today they have marriages business-like. I need to protect my money, so we separate and remarry, and then we can divide the money, and if one passes away, the other is saved from money. A business wedding. But in the Bible, if you marry, all the goods of the woman and the man are common property. Not of the man, although he might bring in the most. Not of the woman, and I've seen sometimes women with a lot of money and the man was just a servant. No! All belongs to each other. We say half-half, probably we shouldn't ever say half-half. All for two. And you know that's the merits by which Christ in his human nature was married to a sinful bride, Rahab, the one in Jericho. Isn't it? And he married in common possession. That means he took the sins of his people as his own. He takes the judgment of his people as his own. And he gives his righteousness to his bride as her own. Did you marry to Christ in his human nature? Did you enter in a common possession? Do you know that he took your sins and gave you his righteousness? That he paid for you the penalty, defended you to the uttermost, loved you like no one ever can love you? Oh, royal bride, give heed. Oh, royal bride, give heed, attend to my words. Father, if thou seekest me, let my bride go. He took my sins and judgment. It's the will of his Father. In his human nature. And he went to the cross to die. He died for his bride. That horrible bride. That bride that by nature is full of enmity. He loved her because he loved her one-sided. While she was still an enemy, he loved her. When she was an ungodly like Paul, when he persecuted the congregation, he says, Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, he says, why do you persecute me? I love you. With an eternal love. My dear congregation, we are not lovable. I'm not lovable. If he would turn his head from me, what can I say? If he would say to me today, and I never want to do, have to do with you anymore, what can I say? But his bond is predetermined by his Father. He says, Father, I come to do thy will. Ultimately, in that marriage, it's one-sided love. And by his love, we love him. That's grace. And congregation, he took the law, fulfilled the law, but also paid a penalty. And when he died at the cross, the law had nothing to say anymore over the bride. He set her free from the law, says Paul. For he died for her, and she died in him. His death was her death. The law says you have to. And Christ says, I had. The law says you have to be killed. And Christ says, I was killed for her. Is that in love? Grace. And if that first marriage comes to an end with the body of Christ, the human nature, you're free. The law has nothing to say over you anymore. No. People don't like this, this preaching. People don't like this preaching. Do you know what you like? The law. But the law has nothing to say over you anymore. When you died in Christ and He died for you, you're dead to the law. Pastor, if you preach this, your church will be emptier and emptier. Okay, be so. Well, you want to make a decision, and you want to prove, and you want to do, and you want to go, and you want to see. But if you're dead to the law has nothing to say over you anymore. Yeah, you have to obey. My husband obeyed for me. You have to pay. He paid for me. You have to do. Make a choice. He made my choice. You know what? We are pigs and we like to... mix ourselves with mud. We don't like to be a clean pig. Although pigs like to be clean, I've heard. But then you need to have that marriage with the body, the human nature of Christ, that first marriage. You need to be connected to Him from His side. Has He ever asked you to be His bride? Has He ever asked you? Well, you didn't even like it to be His bride, to suffer, to be condemned, to die, to be rejected by the world, former friends. Like to be a friend of Christ in the world, you can't. Let's read again Psalm 45. And to the words that then for Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. For Christ, not for a doctrine, for a person. For the bridegroom. Who embraced that woman in the house of Simon the leper. She kissed him because he first has kissed her. She loved him because he first loved her. You need such a bridegroom, isn't it? You need such a bridegroom. Or do you want to pay it yourself? Do you want to obey the law yourself? You don't want to be married to Him? And by nature we don't. I always, after the 40 years in the ministry, have a struggle with people. If I say it's outside of you, they are angered. They say I like grace, but not sovereign grace, free grace, predeterminate grace, election, one-sided love. They don't. Why? I didn't choose Him. He has chosen me. Father, they belong to Thee, but Thou hast given them to me. And I will give Thee back my people without
any stain, any wrinkle, glorifying thee in eternity. But now the thing, the fruit. If you want to be without that bridegroom, you will bring forth fruit to death. Or you can say, if you only marry him as a dead savior, there is no fruit. For the first marriage is not fruitful. No. There are no fruits, no children. When he shall give his life as a guilt sacrifice, he will see fruits after that. In his resurrection. In the newness of life. But if her husband be dead, that's Christ, then she is free from the law. So that she is not an adulteress if she marries another. If you're free from the law and you are not married, you are allowed to marry to another. Another husband. Oh, my dear congregation, let's sing first, 439:3. Whom have I lured but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. And what's following?
if you die in Christ, you're free from the law in Adam. For Christ is the substitute for Adam. So spiritual life in the first marriage ends into death. Starting at the immediate eclave, you have to die with him, to be raised with him, to go to glory with him. If death is not pre-experienced before life in Christ, you have no life and no fruit. You have to die to self to be free from the law, but you can only die to self in the death of Christ. He died my death, and I'm dead in him. And if you're dead, you can't bring forth fruit. It's over. You can't have children anymore. Can you? Your first marriage ends into death to set you free from the law. That's experimentally true. You start not living by faith. You start dying by law, under the law. It's the first exercise of true conversion. To be free from the law of Adam. Free from condemnation. Free from obedience. Free from threatenings. Free. But still you're not fruitful. If you're dead, how can you be fruitful? You can rejoice in your death to be free from the law, but how can you be fruitful? You have to be raised from the death. To be fruitful. For when you were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruits unto death. But now we are delivered. He doesn't say believe, he says it is so if you're a Christian. You are delivered. He doesn't say believe you. He says, if you believe or not, you are delivered. But now are you delivered? We are delivered from the law. We were held that we should serve. As a liberated slave in love, Paul has dealt with it in the last chapter. Serve. Not yourself anymore, nor sin. By the raised and risen Christ, serve him. Who served you first. And only by his service you can serve. Without me you can do nothing. But you have a living Christ, a glorious Christ, an almighty Christ, who has all power in heaven and on earth. Nothing is impossible. Don't believe it, Pastor. Up to you. Up to you. Doesn't matter. But you're a fool not believing it. But now we are delivered. From the law. From the curse of the law. But I'm saying immediately not to use it for your fleshly lusts. Eh? It comes. But delivered. Free. That you should be married to another. Four. A risen Christ.
even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruits unto God. That's wonderful, huh? In a marriage, faithfulness is the circle. God is faithful to you. Even if you think he has forsaken you on his cross, he has not. He's raised. When all ways came to an end, God started some news by the resurrection of Christ. Raised. Paid the penalty, obeyed the law, took away the power of sin, the handwriting blotted out at the cross that was against us. That we should bring forth fruit, love. So a marriage is a circle of faithfulness. You when you married, you promise to be faithful. Pay your vows, we say, isn't it? Now the first place is a husband should love his wife as his own body. That's what Christ does. He loves his wife in resurrection as his own body. But the bride should revere her husband, honor him, put him in the first place, glorify him. The vows, eh? I always say when I have a marriage, I say the circle is first, the circle of the vows. And you promise to be faithful to your husband. It's the bride and the husband to his bride. That's what you promise. Sometimes even when he is not faithful. Now, Christ is always faithful, eh? But the bride is not always faithful. But he doesn't deny himself. Or when we are not faithful, he stays to be faithful. That's the Messiah. When you walk away, he walks after you. He is the risen Christ. It's all power in heaven and on earth. He is my righteousness, obedience, and peace. But in the circle of faithfulness is love working. I hope your children were a fruit of love. I think that's a wonderful example in marriage. That communion between man and woman in the circle of faithfulness is by love. God makes love fruitful. And even in that circle, God gives you sometimes a boy from another family, other sheep who don't belong to this flock, adopted. For we all are, says Paul, adopted children. But love is fruitful, not feelings. We err today by saying, I need to feel it. Now you need to love and be loved. Now what's harder, to love or to be loved? To be loved. You lose all your weapons. Then you lose all your weapons. Not the nice body of a woman,
or the strong body of a man, but love. And love, if there is true love, you want to please your wife and not first yourself. When Christ married his church, he wanted to please his bride. O royal bride, give heed. When in love, when there is true love in a marriage, you're happy when your bride is happy. You're sad when your bride is sad. He has compassion, our bridegroom. He knows the temptations and the afflictions. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. Not to yourself. That should be in a marriage, that we should bring children as fruits unto God. Inheritance of the Lord. Therefore we baptize them. To set them apart, not that they will be holy, but to sanctify, set them apart for the service of God. That's sanctification. Sanctification is not that the child is already converted. Might be, God knows. But sanctification means set apart for the service of God. Fruits to God. May I ask you, did you get children with the purpose to be fruitful to God? Or was it a fruit of your human pleasures? But also spiritually. When you are married to Christ, you have one purpose, to be fruitful to God for his glory. Isn't it? That's heaven, dear. That's heaven. Not to me, but to thee be honor and glory forever and ever. Not what man say to please them, what God says to please him. But listen, you can't do it by yourself, for the bridegroom says, without me you can't do anything. So incapable, such a poor sinner are you, see, even after grace. Lord, help me to be fruitful today. Who helps you? After his resurrection, he sends down his Spirit. That's verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law. That being dead when we were held, we should serve in newness of the Spirit. Then the Spirit uses his people to serve God. That's walking in the Spirit. I'm not walking, but I'm walking in the walk of the Spirit. Do you hear me? Let not you be brought again under the law, for you're dead to the law, and if you deny it, you're dead to Christ. He is not your husband. Therefore he said to you, without me you can do anything. Now I come to the heart of the children of God. Do you know what God makes you? A beggar. Strive with your old nature. But you have a powerful husband. Oh Lord, teach me, love me, I will love thee. Shed abroad thy love in my heart by thy Spirit, and I will love and walk in thy ways. Meet me. For without me, you can't do
50%. No, you can do anything, anything, anything. Let them talk who teach you different. They're liars, deceivers. God's people is a baggage people. Lord, now I must walk today and I don't know how to walk to please Thee. Give me grace, please, Lord. Where do I need to go? What do I need to say? Oh, we need that union with the risen Christ. We are all in all. To show us the ways which we don't know. Hey, dear, if you're married to Christ, you have a husband that has all power in heaven and on earth. That's so compassionate. When you seem not to listen to him, he still loves you. And if you're unfaithful, says the Bible, he is faithful. Why? He is not faithful because you are faithful. That's law. But he is faithful because he is faithful himself. He is all faithfulness. He cannot deny himself. What a husband. I have never been a good husband for my wife if I look to this. Oh God, forgive me. I've never been a good minister for the congregation if I look to this. But it's his flock. And he has compassion. And I should preach Christ, the compassionate husband, the all-powerful and gracious husband. And you have never been a good bride to your husband, is it? But he makes you a new bride, not to serve in the letter, that's the law, but to serve in the Spirit. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And when there is liberty, you have the liberty by grace to walk in His ways. Don't use it for the desires and the lusts of your flesh. For that liberty is bound to the Word of God. As you desire. If it's unto God, it's ruled by the Word of God. And if it's not ruled by the Word of God, it's not the liberty of Christ. It's your own fleshly desires. My dear congregation, yeah, you can't eat meat that's sacrificed to the idol. Paul says there are no idols. There's only one God. And every meat is clean, he says. But there are in the congregation people who can't see that you're doing it. He says, don't do it to hinder the people that are not resting totally in Christ. I know I come to the brinks of grace. I know. But it's one of another. It's one or another, I mean. You're set free, or you're under the law. You're married to Adam, for Christ took the spot of Adam. In the first marriage, under law, ending in death. Or you're married to the risen Christ, sitting at the right hand of his Father, and he will make you fruitful. Therefore he says, I send my Spirit to you. You're the comforter, that you will walk in my ways, direct your feet, your mind, your heart. By love, by love, by love, by love. And now be honest. Have you been loved by Christ, dear friend? Have you tasted that love? If that is what you have tasted, you start to love him. For he has kissed you with the promises of his mouth, that you might have one desire, to be fruitful unto God. And you get a beggar's life. Luther says God makes you a beggar And if you're a Christian, you always stay to be a beggar, not a holy saint, not a man who can do it and makes the decisions. Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me thy ways. That's grace. And he'll find out, and he direct your feet to the glory of God. But now we are delivered from the law, being dead when we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit, a new man of the spirit, newness of the spirit, a new spirit dwelt into your heart, new heart. When God writes his love in your heart, you love his law, his desire. Although the law doesn't condemn you anymore. I've said last week, he says to you, if you're in Christ Jesus, well done, good servant. But you're not relying on your well done life, but on his. When he cried out at the cross, it's finished. Glory to God. Glory in the highest. Peace on earth. In the children of the good pleasure. May God bless his word. Amen.